Right, let's get started then. Hello, good evening and welcome. This is Gene MacDonald of the New Midlife Women Community. And this is the first of our radio interviews. And I'm very fortunate this evening to have Jill Barham, who is a women's elite health and lifestyle coach. Hello, Jill.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. And I should mention you are also the author of the book, The Heart of a Woman, which I hope you'll tell us more about later.
Yes, indeed.
So can I ask start by asking you to tell us what a women's elite health and lifestyle coach is and does?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in three easy words. So basically, I have a nursing background. So many years ago, I trained as a registered general nurse. And throughout my life as a mom and as a woman, and you'll probably hear a little bit more about my story a bit later on. What I've realised is that the difference between illness and wellness is this massive gulf. And one of the things that I've been trying to strive for myself is to not only prevent illness, but also get my health into a state of really good nick, if you like. And then I've gone on further to really understand, as I've been studying functional nutrition and all the areas around nutraceuticals and vitamins and supplements and the way that the body works and the way that the gut has a big part to play, is my intelligence and my understanding has grown in terms of, well, actually what we really need to be looking for is elite health. So it's having that real optimum health, that's another word for it really, because just because you're not well doesn't mean you're ill doesn't mean that you're well, if you see what I mean.
Right, so, well, we'll come back to that, but what I'm fascinated to know is, because I don't hear that sort of thing being taught in the traditional educational institutions, to your journey, to how you got to that point, what you did in your earlier life.
Yeah, so I've had quite a varied life in that I was started off as a musician and I went to university and trained as a singer, really.
Wow.
An early music or a sort of operatic singer. But I was too young to go on and study singing when I came out of university because as a soprano, your voice doesn't actually develop until you're in your mid-20s. I don't know if you probably are aware of that, Jean, because you like opera yourself. And so I needed to find something to do, and I'm kind of one of those people that kind of volunteer for things really quickly.
Yes, I know a lot of those people.
Yeah, and I was looking for something to do in the local area that I lived in, and I saw this advert for to be a nurse, and I thought, well, I could do that. You know, I could do that. Why couldn't I do that? I quite like looking after people, so I ended up being qualified as a registered general nurse and working for a few years at a community hospital until I had my own children. And then it became clear once I'd had my third child that there was absolutely no way that, A, I really wanted to leave my children and I wanted to look after them myself, but also financially it didn't really make sense to pay somebody else to look after three children because I wouldn't have earned enough money, and I think nurses are still in that position actually.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. And so, you know, we had many, many years when, you know, do you remember some of your listeners will remember the time when you think, I've got to buy a pair of shoes for somebody or three pairs of shoes because school's coming up. And we had many years of struggle and on one salary.
Yes.
Until I then began to start my own kind of small businesses, and I did all sorts of things over the years, including being an image consultant. That was all about helping and caring. You know, I was still
yes,
cool. And then I ran a music festival with my husband and several people for about 7 years, a bluegrass and Irish music festival, until ultimately, then in 2007. My daughter had taken up a mad sport called equestrian vaulting, which is gymnastics on the back of a cantering horse.
Wow.
And so she was a gymnast, basically. So I got really interested in nutrition, apart from anything else, because I was looking after this little gymnast, this little athlete. I became a kind of house mother. They used to train a local equestrian centre, and I used to look after the whole team at weekends in the build-up to the World Equestrian Games in 2010. We went out to America with the team, and they were in a really high, intense period of training at that point. That was I've always cooked, but it was the first time that I really got interested in the machinations of really understanding the difference between proteins and fats and nutrients and antioxidants and so on.
Yeah.
And eventually I ended up actually working for the Equestrian Federation, because somebody found out that I didn't have a job. I'd stopped organizing this festival. And somebody offered me this job, which I found very difficult to refuse, because it's quite difficult to refuse a job when somebody offers you, isn't it, Jim?
One likes to be wanted.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up working in the equestrian industry for 5 years. And I was quite good at what I did. It was a new post. There were five of us on the team, and we made a massive difference to getting all the equestrian disciplines to talk to one another. But I felt a bit like a square peg in a round hole.
Yes.
I wasn't from a horsey background, and horsey people are they are their own people. You know, they're very, they're a certain type of people, and they're very close to each other. And I felt like a kind of a bit of an intruder, if you like. So it didn't kind of sit with me very well. But the worst thing about it was that I had a boss that was unpredictable, shall we say.
Yes.
She's a lady who looks like J.K. Rowling, you know, the lady that wrote Harry Potter.
Yes.
She looked a bit like her, but I used to call her mismanagement, because she had the worst management skills I had ever known. And she was also, unfortunately, she also had a tendency towards being very unpredictable, as I say, and we never knew which person we were going to get on the end of the phone. And it became really, really stressful. And the last sort of two and a half years of working for the Federation, I didn't really realise what was going on, but my health really severely began to suffer.
Yes.
Until this isn't unusual, Jean. You know, I see this now all the time.
Yes.
Because what we tend to do is ignore the signs, particularly as women, don't we? Because we think we're superwomen. And I was juggling, you know, my three children and my husband, and we'd moved house, and I had all of the activities that Lydia was doing with all of her friends, and I was raising money to go to Kentucky, and, you know, my father was suffering with dementia, or everything put together.
Yes.
You know, you
didn't have time to think.
No, I didn't have time to think. I was just kind of getting up and getting through from Monday to Friday, and then starting again. You know, the weekend was full of kids and other people's kids and all the rest of it.
Yes.
And by the end, you know, by the time I got to November 2012, you know, I ended up at the doctor's in a real kind of state, not really realizing until my good friend, who was the local practice nurse, just looked at me and said, you know, how are you? And I burst into tears, because nobody'd asked me that question for quite some time.
Oh dear.
You know, I was looking after everybody else and everything else, but actually nobody was looking after me.
Yes, yes.
And least of all me. So I had very high blood pressure, my cholesterol levels were up, I had an infection, I was very depressed, I wasn't sleeping, my hormones were all over the shop. You know, I was in a real state, really.
Yes.
And so I spent that weekend in real reflection, looking at the parts of my life. I don't know whether you've ever done this, compiled a list, you know, of good things and bad things.
Yes.
The pros and cons. And there were lots of pros in my life, including obviously my lovely family and where I live. I'm very fortunate. And my lovely husband, who I've been with for 34 years.
Yeah.
And the cons were all to do with my work.
Right.
And specifically this woman, and I knew that I needed to distance myself from her. You know, there'd been some bullying in the workplace, and so I resigned from my job.
Oh, good for you.
On the Tuesday, subsequently the whole team sort of fell apart. That's another story. But then from there, my very good friend and Pilates teacher, Sarah, she'd been watching my decline. And of course, that weekend, I looked back in hindsight, because hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
And I could see that my body had been giving me all of these signs that things were not going well. But I'd been ignoring them because I thought I was Superwoman.
Yes, we all have that. That misapprehension.
Yes. So she said to me, look, why don't you come along to this talk that we've got in the local town next week. We've got one of the premier naturopaths in the country coming to give a talk on gut health and how your gut is sort of the key to having good health. And so I went along and I kind of crept in on the back wall, you know, the back row, as you do when you go anywhere near you, feeling a bit embarrassed and out of place. And she started talking about this fact that, you know, the having a poor functioning gut meant that you were much more prone to illness and disease, and that your immune system was really affected. And I had this massive light bulb moment again. I'd had another one that week. Because the thing that really had broken the straw that broke the camel's back, it's another saying, isn't it?
Yes,
had happened in the June of that year when my 20-year-old son had ended up in hospital after a few weeks of illness.
Yes.
And he'd had come home from university. He was a 15 and a half stone, big rugby playing lad, you know, very handsome. He looks a bit like Superman. He's got very dark hair and dark glasses.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, he's a very handsome boy. I know I'm completely biased, of course. But he'd come home with another throat infection. He'd always had lots of tonsillitis, and he'd always had, you know, things happening to him. He was not the most robust child of all of my three children, but they couldn't find out what was wrong with him, and he got worse and worse, and he stopped drinking, and he stopped eating, and he stopped talking to me. And I, the last day, I took him into hospital really concerned, remember thinking, I didn't know what was wrong with him, just thinking, I wonder if I can remember how to do a tracheotomy, because his breathing was so labored.
Yeah.
And I was just very frightened, and I thought, have I done the wrong thing? Should I have called an ambulance? Am I going to get him there in time? You know, it was very, very scary.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Anyway, the next day, we finally got a diagnosis for my son, which was that he had something called epiglottitis. If there are any nurses on the call, they'll be gasping at this point. Because it's a really rare but potentially fatal problem, but it's normally seen in very young babies or very elderly, frail people. It's not seen in 20-year-old students, you know.
Yeah.
So they just weren't looking for it. And the thing was that every time I took him to the doctors or the hospital, the drop-in center, I kept saying to everybody, you know, my son's got irritable bowel syndrome. He was diagnosed at 11. Do you think this has got anything to do with what's happening to him now?
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we were in the National Health Service, and that's structured so that each doctor has its own discipline.
Yes.
And they don't look holistically at the person. You've probably experienced this yourself.
Yes.
They just look at their speciality. And of course, we were in the ear, nose and throat department. We weren't in the gastroenterology department.
Right.
So nobody really paid any attention. But on this Tuesday evening, when I was in front of the naturopath, the penny dropped in my gut reaction, and that's a really ironic phrase.
Yes, gut.
My gut reaction was true, because I believe as mums, you know, we do know our own children, you know, and we need to be really have faith in understanding. And I remember as a nurse, you know, if a mother came in and she was worried about her child, a good paediatrician would take note. They would never say, oh, you know, you're making it up, or it's not as bad as you think, because a mother really does know when her child is ill. And I knew that, even though he was 20. So I began to realise that, of course, he'd had a big flare-up of his IBS in the January of that year for a few months, and this had lent his immune system to be really low, and this made him vulnerable to this catastrophic disease. And I didn't really know anything about it until I went home and looked, you know, I did what everybody would do, I looked it up on Google.
Yes.
And of course, that didn't make me feel any better at all. Because that was when I found out that, you know, when you've got this disease, the last thing you want is to be getting people to open your mouth and say, give me a look, you know, I need to look down your throat, because that is very dangerous, because it can close the epiglottis, close off the windpipe, in which case, no breath, dead boy.
Oh, dear.
And so, you know, I can still feel the hairs on the back of my head going up, knowing that we were, you know, hours, if not minutes away from me losing my son.
Oh, God.
So, of course, I had this massive, massive reason to learn about the connection of the gut. And then from that point, my journey went into using nutrition and understanding how good quality supplementation is so critical for us all now to achieve this elite health or optimum health. We can't rely on food anymore. You know, even if we eat organic food, you know, it's very poor quality. Most of us are living these really high-powered, switched-on lives all the time, where we need to counteract the effects of our 21st century living. And if we really want to live a life of wellness, of abundance, of prosperity, of whatever you want to call it, then we need to be taking responsibility and preventative measures every day in order to achieve that elite health that I think we all want.
Wow. Well, I highly need to ask you why you got into this field, because your story is so graphic. But how do you feel about it now in terms of your own personal path or mission or fulfillment?
Well, you know, I don't really feel that I work at all.
How lovely.
I know. Because, you know, every day is very different. Every day, I'm always getting people sending me messages. Yesterday, I had a lovely message from a lady who said, you know, thank you for introducing me to this heart health supplement that I use called Priorginine. You know, I've been on blood pressure medication for 15 years. You know, I've been taking this now for a few months. I ran out of my blood pressure medication and thought, well, I'll just see how it goes. I went to my GP and he said that I no longer need to take my blood pressure medications. Thank you so much for introducing me to this product. Yeah. And I get that, you know, all the time. I get people saying to me all the time. Yesterday evening I was out doing a women's health talk, talking about the stages of a woman's life and helping them to understand how they can balance their hormones, how they can keep well into older age, and how their lives are affecting them generally in their weight. And there is just, it's so lovely, because there are lots of light bulb moments that go off, and people say to me afterwards, it's just so fascinating. You know, I'm so interested in this. And why didn't I know this before? And why didn't somebody tell me?
Indeed.
So, you know, I just consider myself to be an educator, really. You know, there is so much noise out there, Gene, isn't there, particularly around the wellness industry. It's massive.
Well, I think it's true to say there's also quite a lot of disinformation as specialist interests churn out their stuff. And, well, that's what we're fed. For many people, that's all the health counselling that they get.
Yes, and of course, you know, we live in a world where we have a national health system, which, you know, ostensibly is a good thing, but actually it's not a national health service, it's a national illness service. That's really what it is.
Yes.
And of course, it's a good thing in a way, but it also makes a nation. Because it means we can almost kind of, we see this all the time, we see a lot of people going, oh, well, it'll be okay, yeah, I can do what I want, because, you know, the doctor's just going to fix me.
Yes.
So we have
because we will get a recording so that people who are here can. So where have we got to, Jill?
Where have we got to, indeed?
Were you telling us about some of the examples? And indeed, that was what I was going to ask you. A bit about, because you mentioned this earlier, this difference between not being ill equals health and wellness. And And you also talk about lifestyle and how many of us operate on our emergency batteries all the time. Can you give us some practical examples of what someone can expect once they move towards and approach elite health?
Yeah, so the approach we were just talking about, the fact that, you know, the National Health Service is really a national illness service. Yes. Really what a lot of people do is they rely on almost kind of, well, it'll be okay, I can just live the life that I do, knowing actually, because most people really know that they shouldn't be eating the food that they eat, that they probably are not exercising enough. You know, most people know what should they should and shouldn't do in reality, because there's so much news out there. It's now big news, you know, people are interested in it, and that's why it's on every television program and on every radio program, and, you know, in the newspapers. More and more people are interested in wellness and well-being. So it's not that people don't know, but there is a difference between knowing and doing. And so a lot of people say, well, it'll be kind of all right, I kind of need know what I need, but they make excuses, like I did. I don't have time, I don't have the money, because you know, organic food is more expensive, or I'm not gonna, you know, buy supplements because maybe I'm not worthy.
Yes.
You know, I need to be looking after my children or my husband and putting them for their account generally. The way I describe it. So you've got this bank account where, you know, you fill up your bank account with some really good food, with some exercise, with some, you know, some meditation or some time, or going to a yoga class or whatever it is, or spending time outside in nature, having a walk, walking the dog, simple as that. And that kind of fills up your bank balance. And then what reduces your bank balance is the stress that you're undergoing on a daily basis from things that are outside. So, whether that's herbicides and pesticides or smoking or car fumes and the toxins that you're using every day to clean yourself or your house, for example. And then that brings, you know, that brings down the bank balance at that point. And so, and what we're aiming for is this kind of evenness. Now, we can't keep it even all the time, but what we do need to be able to do is to be able to put in extra on a daily basis to counteract the effects of our 21st century living. If we all lived 50, 100 years ago, then we could just eat normal food and we'd all be well, because we'd have the kind of food that we now call organic food, basically.
Yes.
You know, because it's not tampered with, it's not been sitting in storage for a year, which is what most of our fruit and vegetables do. It's not got enzymes on the outside, it's not lost its vitamin and mineral content. We've got, you know, we had super rich soils there where we had all the vitamins and particularly minerals that we need in order to keep us healthy. But, you know, 85% of the population are deficient in magnesium. 10 million people are deficient in D3, the hormone D3. You know, so many people are not getting the nutrients because we are a nation that's overfed but undernourished.
Oh, yes. How true.
So when I work with people, I work from a position not of treating symptoms, which is what the NHS does. So you go and you go with your symptom and they look at it and they diagnose you and they prescribe something. We are looking at this in a more holistic sense and saying, well, let's forget about the symptoms. Instead of treating symptoms, let's build health. Let's build elite health, because a body that's got nutrition and the extra nutrition it needs every day will heal itself. It will not only heal itself physically, but it will heal itself mentally as well. And there's lots of studies, for example, that show that nowadays the research into the gut has extended tenfold since the days when I started looking at it. And the relationship between your gut and your brain is very, very well documented now.
Yes.
We know, for example, that we're a long way off a cure for Alzheimer's and dementia, but what we do know is that an imbalance in your gut flora, which is called your microbiome, is going to influence your risk of developing such memory and learning disorders.
Wow. So, yes, it's, well, I mean, the importance of the gut has only become obvious as a result of reading your book to me, although I've heard people mention it, but I didn't really get the significance before. But and I found your book absolutely fascinating and just so much information in there.
Yeah, so optimize health, minimize disease, maximize wellness.
So there is a place for the, there is a place for the National Health Service for routine orthodox medicine. Of course, we don't want to give the impression that we're rubbishing that, which we I know you're
no,
not.
No, because I, you know, I come from that background, so
yes, why of course.
That? You know, and that saved my son's life.
Yes,
you know, saved my son's life. But what we need to do as a nation is take more responsibility for our own well-being. You know, we are unfortunately we're like America. In that now, you know, we have very, very high rates of obesity. We have one in three adults are obese, one in four of our 11 to 16 year olds are clinically obese. And it's this introduction of, actually it goes right back to the 1950s and the introduction of wheat into our diet, actually, as simple as that, when we started eating cereals for breakfast, that has created a reliance on predominantly processed foods and carbohydrate foods. And that means that we are this nation that is, as I say, overfed but undernourished.
That's very interesting. So you'd attribute the sort of mass manufactured breakfast cereal to being, what is that, a sort of high carbohydrate?
Yes, because what you do first thing in the morning sets up your blood sugar. And I have a program that I do with men and women called Your Heart Matters. And I've just done the blood sugar one this week. I've got six ladies doing my course at the moment online. And we did the blood sugar one and how critical it is that the thing that you eat first thing in the morning to break your fast
yes.
is protein, because you've got a high amounts of hydrochloric acid in your stomach at that point. And so if you just eat carbohydrates, which is what I used to do, I used to feed my kids cereal for breakfast. You know, that's what I used to do before I knew any different. And what it does is it pushes the sugar into the bloodstream really quickly. And then we get these highs and lows of blood sugar balance, which goes on all day. Now, you can try this at home. If you start your day with a cereal and milk, you'll find that all day long you are hungry and you'll get a 4 o'clock craving or you'll get an 8 o'clock craving in the evening. But if you eat protein for breakfast, which of course is what we used to do before the development and the manufacture of these wheat products in the 1950s, we had bacon and eggs for breakfast. So if you eat a high protein breakfast, you'll find that you don't get hungry as soon. You'll be able to control your cravings throughout the afternoon and the evening too. So the amount of protein that you have in your diet will determine, and good fats determines the way that your blood sugar works.
Jill, can you give us something? I mean, the idea of bacon and egg in the morning is attractive if somebody else has made it and you have time to stop and eat it. But can you give us some alternatives which are perhaps a little less?
Yeah, so protein, even if, for example, you had a handful of almonds. So whatever you have for breakfast, eat the protein first. So if you like eating a cereal, like you know, an Oatibix or something like that. I don't do wheat, so I would eat an Oatibix type thing. Even if you had a handful of almonds first, you've got the good essential protein and fats, and that stops the delivery of the sugar straight into your bloodstream. Or any kind of eggs, something like you know, a continental breakfast, eggs, and you know, they eat ham. You think about what the French and the Dutch eat.
Yes.
They eat ham and eggs for breakfast and cheese for breakfast, don't they?
Sorry, what did you say after ham and eggs?
They will eat cheese and
cheese, yes.
Cheeses and eggs and ham and salamis and smoked salmon.
Right, right.
You know, all of those lovely tasting things. And if you can get some green stuff in there as well and some and a little bit of dark fruit too, then obviously you're just setting your body up for much better control over your blood sugar, because a lot of women particularly feel so guilty about being overweight and they don't understand it's not their fault.
Yes. Oh, that's now going to get into a big subject. I wonder if you'll come back another time and talk specifically about that subject, body weight, because
yes.
I know you have some very interesting things to say, and hopefully by then I'll have got worked out why to get the how we get the pictures up as well.
Yes.
But Jill, I'm certainly going to start changing my breakfast in the light of what you've just said. What do you mean by dark fruit? What would be dark fruit?
So dark berries, you know, blueberries, strawberries, blackberry. So eating those dark fruits, because they're very high in antioxidants. So what we need to be able to do to stop the aging process is to have higher amounts of antioxidants in our diet.
Right.
But we need the antioxidants without the high levels of sugar.
Right. And those darker fruits don't have so much sugar in them as the light ones. Wow, that's fascinating. Well, I was going to ask you for some simple or not too hard to apply things to do to start the journey towards elite health. Have you got any other easy quick tips?
You know what the main one is? The main one is to drink 8 glasses of water a day.
Right.
Now, and I know that everybody knows that they should do that.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, everybody talks about it, but it's not that easy to do. So one of the things that you can do, and you know, whenever I work with people in my program, this is one of the big things, and I've got another online video program which you know about, and it's the first thing that I address in that little video program, is talking about water, why it's so important, and how you can make it more potable, basically. So why you shouldn't use bottled water, that's a big subject. I won't go into this now because we're already 40 minutes into the call. But you know, in my book or on this series, you'll be able to listen to why you shouldn't use bottled water, why we should be using filtered water, and what else we can do to make us drink more water, because it's so critical. The 70% of our bodies are water, effectively. And I can guarantee you, immediately, if you drink 8 glasses of water a day, you will feel immediately better in all systems of your body.
Well, I don't be doubting Thomasina, but could you just give us a glimmering on why this water has such a big effect? Well, what is it doing, this water that we drink?
Okay, so each of your cells, every system is made of 70% water. So, for example, your brain is fat and water. So if you're dehydrated, then you're going to get brain fog. Now, what's dehydration? Well, if you are thirsty, you are already dehydrated. So if you've got to the point at which you think, oh, I really need a drink, you're already in this dehydrated state. So you never need to be letting yourself get to that stage. The other thing that water does is it keeps your joints supple. I'm a Pilates teacher, and I encourage my clients to drink water because in between the spine, you've got these little cushions, these intervertebral discs, and guess what? They're made of 70% water too.
Sorry, which of those did you say in your back?
So you know the discs that you've got in between every vertebra in your spine?
Oh, yes, my goodness, yes.
Yeah? So if you are dehydrated, that means that these discs aren't plumped up and they are flat, and that means that you get the bones rubbing on each other effectively, which can give you back pain. And I see so many people with back pain, and all they really need to do is to drink more water and hydrate themselves, because we need to plump up these discs. We need to plump up all of the joints. So all your joints are full of synovial fluid, which is, you know, partly water. You need your gut to function well. Now, you've got to be really careful with your gut and the water, because the timing has got to be right when you drink your water to have a good gut, and that's another story. But you need lots of water for your blood, you know, because you've got all this blood circulating. If you're dehydrated, it will affect that. It affects your lymphatic system. It affects your kidneys. You know, you need to be able to be peeing out really straw-coloured light urine to make sure that, you know, you're flushing your toxins out of your liver. Your skin will be better, you'll look younger. Need I go on?
Well, that sounds wonderful. Yes, so should we just drink that water, spread it through the day, those 8 glasses?
But one of the things that if you have a poor functioning gut, and if you have a tendency to acid reflux, you know, I have a whole tale about this and the fact that we shouldn't be taking omeprazole and all the rest of it, that's for another day. But if you have a poor functioning gut, you actually need to keep away from water at mealtimes.
At mealtimes, yeah.
Yeah, because we've got enzymes that help us to digest our food. But if you're drinking lots of water, then it dilutes those enzymes, and it means that you're less likely to be able to digest your food as efficiently. And that's particularly true as we get older because we run out of enzyme.
Yes, right. So, yes, well, that's good, useful things to do because so often we have water on the table and it's not helping us. I'm doing an emergency operation here while you're talking. so please forgive me if I sound slightly, because I'm just trying to get into the chat box, and you could probably do it from memory, the link to see your special offer and connect with you. I've got your
www.jillbarham.com.
Hang on just a second. I'm going to do this and then hopefully press the chat button so everybody, jillbarham.com. Hopefully everybody will be able to see it in the chat box, and then that's a live link which you can copy.
It's a very easy name to get wrong. Yes.
Well, let me support this by saying that page has got a lovely number of treasures, including a video. As soon as you get there, there's a video of someone else talking about how the book and Jill has helped them. Then there's also the offer of the 50 50 minutes, isn't it, of you recorded. So that's wonderful. You can download that onto your phone and listen to it while you're jogging or something else less healthy. And then there's also some information about your 14 days to fabulous.
Yes, I believe there is on that page as well, which is 14 days of videos, 14 minutes a day, £14.
An unbelievably low price. That's £1 a day. Well, it's up to you whether people take advantage of that, but certainly access the free stuff first of all. And then I think that is such an amazing offer that I couldn't not mention it. Well, Jill, unfortunately, we've used up our questions time with the technical things that have happened. I'm going to have to do a post-mortem on this to find out what went wrong, because up till and in my practice session this afternoon, everything worked perfectly. But then that's the way life goes.
Yes, it is indeed. I'm sure your listeners won't mind. You know, when we're doing anything new, this is what happens, isn't it? And it's all a learning curve.
So. Yes. Well, my current learning curve...
They can always contact me with questions.
Yes, of course. Yes. Well, my current learning curve is Camtasia, and I know I can edit out all the disasters, but we may not, you know, that sometimes where we lost the sound quality is a little poor, but there was so much good stuff, Jill, that I don't think people will feel sold short when I send out the recording, which I will do to everybody. It may take me a day or two to get it ready, but I'll send it out to all the people who registered for this show as soon as I've got it ready.
Good.
So thank you again, Jill.
Thank you very much. I feel very honoured to be your first guest. You know, it's been been an absolute delight, and nothing phases me like this. So happy days.
I should learn from you to be more cool.
Yeah. Well, that was my other tip, actually. You know, one of the things that I've learned to do is to be much less of a stress head. Just take things as they come. You know, nobody died. Nothing dreadful happened. It was all okay. Yeah. And let's just make the best of everything and try and be as happy. Because if you're happy, actually, your happiness will lead to this real true sense of well-being and elite health.
Thank you. That's a brilliant note to end on. So thank you again, Jill, and thank you to our audience, and thank you all for your patience, including Jill. And we'll look forward to talking to you next time. I do know we have somebody booked for next Thursday, but I'll announce that over the weekend in the usual ways. So thank you and good night, everybody.
Thank you and good night.